started. I will start the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't think there's anyone here for prayer today. Can we get attendance and roll call, please?
Johnson?
Here.
Dawson?
Here.
Frank?
Here.
Shire?
Here.
Demeline?
Here.
All right, executive session. ORC 121.22 G1 to consider the appointment of a public official.
We're doing the interviews first, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what that executive session's for.
Afterwards.
We'll do them in.
Oh, we're doing them in executive session.
In executive session.
Got it.
Make a motion to enter to executive session.
Who are we inviting? Are we gonna bring in the board at time or are we inviting all three to be in? I'll second the motion.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Dawson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
For the record, could you just say who you would like in the executive session to start with?
Rachel Adams.
And the longer under. And the mayor.
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay, if I could have a motion to come out of the executive session.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to come out of executive session at 5:27 PM.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Mayor, just if I may, for the record, council went into executive session at 4:33 and had the mayor and the law director present along with Rachel Adams. At 4:52, Rachel Adams left the executive session and Hal Kinder entered the executive session. And at 5:04, Hal Kinder left the executive session and Dan Elliott entered the executive session and exited at 5:18.
Need to amend our agenda. Well, I'll make a motion to amend our agenda to include the appointment of a public official.
To fill the council vacancy.
To fill the council seat.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Now, if council would make a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the agenda with the amendments. Roll call, please.
Shire?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Now, if council would want to consider filling that vacancy, now would be the time to go through that process.
We have nominations.
I'd like to recommend Rachel Adams fill that position. Are there any other recommendations?
Okay. So now we vote on that?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Now I think, Your Honor, be appropriate to swear in the new council member.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, you can come up here. We'll swear you in.
Where do I stand? Right.
Up front center.
Okay.
You want to set your stuff down right there? You can.
I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Delta Charter.
To which I have been selected pursuant to the Village of Delta Charter.
Welcome aboard. I'm going to assign this to this.
Okay.
Rachel.
Oh, right here.
Rachel.
Do that, you do that now.
She's got something for you too.
Yeah.
Sit, you know, that'll be your seat.
And you got our packets, employment and.
I didn't put it in, yeah, I'll get it.
I would like to take a minute to thank the applicants who did come in, but I do encourage them, should a vacancy or an open council spot be up for election again, that you both apply and make your voices heard.
Okay, so now moving on, we have the approval of minutes from the previous meeting, June 10th, 2024, regular meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second, roll call please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
All right, approval of the minutes from the June 17th regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second, roll call please.
Dawson?
Yes.
Adams?
Abstain.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Public wishing to address council, I have Kyle Summers?
Cummers.
Cummers?
Kyle Cummers, 608 Furman Street. Just a quick question. The annexation, assuming it's approved tonight, at some point that obligates us to take out a loan to fund the improvements, the sewage, water, yada, for the new development, correct?
That it does, it will, yes, the village will be responsible for providing utilities to that area.
Okay, so if something were to happen, you know, recession, housing market slowdown, whatever, and that development doesn't fill up as quick as anticipated, that increased taxes from that is what's supposed to pay the debt service on that loan. And if that doesn't happen, what's the backup plan to cover the debt payment?
So that's really jumping the shark. You're talking about TIF payments from the way you phrased that.
Yes.
A TIF has not been discussed nor finalized. That project has not been.
I understand that, but by approving the annexation, that's obligating us to provide services to that area, correct?
No.
Correct. There is also no timeline necessary on us to provide those.
No.
No, it doesn't obligate us to.
Doesn't obligate you.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, the way I read the full text of it, it made it sound like that by approving the annexation, the people that own that land can say, hey, you need to provide us with services. Is that not the way it works?
That you are correct. That is not the way it works.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we provide police service,
yes.
But the property owner can't force the village to install streets or water lines or sewer lines or anything like that. They can't force us to do that.
Okay. So
right.
We have the ability, should something in the economy change, to say, no, we're not doing this, sorry.
Absolutely correct. We have the ability to do that.
All right. Yep. Cool enough. Thank you.
Sorry. I had correspondence.
Mayor and Council, I will be forwarding you a link, if you haven't already received it directly, from the Auditor of State. It's about a bulletin, as he refers to it, as 24-005, and it has to do with required fraud reporting and training. And I will be sending that link to you through the Ohio Municipal League. They have a good link, and I believe there is an 8-minute video that is part of the training, and I don't know, I haven't gone through it myself yet, but I'm just reading it. And so once completed, you will be sent a certificate. I'm asking that all, a copy of that certificate be directed to the office so that we can place it into your files. I anticipate that this will be part of the 23-24 audit requirement, so that there, it's there. All staff is going to have to provide and be participate also in this training. So we'll be working to get the staff notified and make arrangements if they don't have computers at home or what, to view it here at, on the village property. So just wanted to alert you to that coming.
Reports and updates. Mr. Sika?
The first thing I have on the agenda, and I apologize for this is taking your time on it, but the village personnel policies, we authorized that the village can enter or provide uniforms for its office or for its employees. That's in section 6.05. A copy of that was a policy was included in your packet. And it's indicating that you may provide uniforms designated by, if it's by village council, okay? And there's been a lot of talk since I came here, and a lot of maybe uncertainty as to what the intents of. I mentioned it a couple meetings back about this uniform issue. I provided a little bit of cost estimates of what the uniforms would be for the streets, distribution, and wastewater treatment plant, wastewater departments. And those costs are highlighted on the memo. The village police department is a must that they have uniforms, and all your personnel there are provided uniforms, including the administrative assistant who has some type of designated polo shirt. It's not formal police uniform, so. But these departments, in talking with the superintendents, the streets, distribution, and wastewater, felt that uniforms could be a benefit to their department, particularly wastewater, which has the occasion of getting their clothing soiled when involved with the treatment, the lift stations, et cetera. And so the streets department, they were interested in uniforms for the pants. They like the cargo pants, but they don't like the shirts. Not during the summertime, because they like the t-shirts, the safety shirts, which we provide, the village provides for them. And distribution is the same as they prefer to keep their summer wear with the t-shirts, but in the wintertime, the cargo pants and other uniform shirts are very acceptable. The village jumped ahead of itself and has the uniforms in place already, and has a purchase order with Cenitas to provide these uniforms. Those departments of water and others, we're shipping them back to Cenitas, and they're under state contract, so it's a provision is that we can cancel that those services. So again, I'm looking for direction from the from council in compliance with the personnel policy. Does council want the uniforms? If you don't, then we'll work on getting them back.
I feel like providing uniforms to wastewater, especially with their clothes being soiled, is appropriate.
Yeah.
In terms of this contract with Cenitas, what is it? Is a monthly contract? Is it a yearly based contract? What sort of financial endeavor are we locking ourselves into with this?
It's a multi-year contract, yeah, with Cenitas, but it is a state contract under their cooperative state purchasing, and so usually that has very good terms for the local government.
Yeah, are we, so. Right, so we're 2 years, 3 years? Do we have an exact number on that?
You know, I did have it, Marlene, do you recall, was it three or five?
Three.
I'm not sure. It's one of those two, three or five.
Three or five. Lynn, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. Do we have a uniform budget number? I don't have that in front of me.
I don't have it in front of me either. I know we've been purchasing, Marlena helped me out here, that we've been purchasing uniforms per se, I mean, pants and...
Boots, I believe there's a refund policy in place.
Yeah.
Pants and t-shirts.
And that's what's raising the issue, because different employees got different reimbursement for different clothing. So that's part of the underlying discussion here among the staff is we haven't, the village hasn't been consistent. And so we're following the policy and...
So are we looking to have this become a new, a new policy that is going to override and supersede the previous policies?
No, the policy, we're asking that the policies, we're not asking to change the policy, except in this case, the policy asks that it's with council, uniforms as designated by village council. So if you would designate that these departments would have the uniforms, that's what I'm looking for. A motion would do, would handle it. We're not changing the policy.
Okay, I guess I didn't phrase that clearly. Because there's a reimbursement policy currently in place for employees. Is that going to stay in place along with this uniform policy? Or is the uniform policy, the new uniform that we're providing, going to supersede the reimbursement policy? Or are they going to exist simultaneously in the same system? So the boots and everything else, I guess I'm just looking for clarity if we're going to have two systems running in parallel or if we're streamlining this into one system.
We have a reimbursement for boots in some departments?
We have not done that this year, no.
And is there anything in the policy book
there
that
not.
Says anything?
There is not. That's where the inconsistency came amongst the employees, and that was the reason the uniforms were presented. Was so that everyone would have the same. If all departments wore uniforms, then everyone had the same.
Yeah.
I'm all for, if a department is on board with uniforms and they want them and they're going to wear them, then I'm all for going forward with that.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold them accountable for not wearing them. If they feel it's too hot and they don't want to wear their uniform shirt today, that's fine. We shouldn't reprimand people for that.
So what are
doing quick math here, you're looking at $400 a year per employee. So maybe we gauge our reimbursement policy.
Is that what you were thinking?
Yes, we can work. We'll look at that reimbursement policy and see how it confirms with this. And I think it's still a question that I don't believe you have anything set. Can you correct me? You're on the shoes.
There is nothing set. There's nothing in policy that states we will reimburse for boots or give them a boot allowance.
Yeah.
I don't think we should.
And there is nothing in place other than we give them the green safety t-shirts.
The fluorescent ones.
I think
during the summertime, yeah.
A unique argument for having their boots replaced. If we're gonna provide uniforms, everyone still has to wear shoes to work, regardless of your department. The uniforms don't come with boots or shoes. Everybody's required to buy their own footwear. And I think that should be cohesive across the board.
So then pants.
Cargo pants and a uniform shirt.
Is through Cintas.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted the pants from Cintas only, not the tops, could they do that?
They told me that they had to get the whole uniform.
Yeah.
It was all or nothing.
And there's not a reimbursement for pants either.
Well,
there's no reimbursement for anything other than
what we have done is when they first start, they were going and getting 5 pairs of pants at Tractor Supply. But that's not in a policy.
They had to go there.
That's not enough.
It's not in a policy anywhere, but that is the practice that's been done for years. So this is where...
So I feel like this is a golden opportunity to kind of clean this up a little bit. I do not have an issue with uniforms. I do think that I am in favor of having a discussion with employees dealing with potential contaminants, having either their boots supplied 1 year or having a policy to pay for those. Every employee has to come to work wear shoes, not every employee has to deal with sewage. And I feel like that's a distinction. So I am okay with the uniforms being as presented moving forward. I do think I would like to see something in writing in regards to the uniform policy and the, you said there's not even anything in writing for the pants that we used to provide, but getting a uniform policy written in place, I would just see going forward.
Okay.
So I'm just going to weigh in real quick here on my thoughts related to sewage and walking around with it. I think that is neat for a taller rubber boot, waterproof boot. I don't have any problem supplying those, but I don't see that being something we're going to walk around in all day.
We do give them all a muck, like what, a muck boots?
Yeah, muck boots.
Yeah.
So
they get the muck
boots.
Put
those on before you get in there or ruin your own boots.
Yeah. And they also, this last winter, they purchased coats, winter coats for all of them.
Carhartts, yeah.
They, when they start out, they get a set of Carhartts. But again, none of that is written in a policy. So it would be nice to have that spelled out what and how often. It would just clear things up so that we don't have 20 people come in and ask for something different.
Right. Yeah, I think there needs to be a dollar value on the reimbursement.
And that's what somebody suggested. If we could set a, whatever, they could use it for what they want or need.
Yeah, so like I said, gauging off of this number here, it's about $400 per employee.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying if they choose to do the uniforms, then they would not get the reimbursement?
Correct. That would be my opinion. Yeah.
Is there
I was going to say that kind of contradicts things. Either we're doing uniforms or we're not doing uniforms. I don't think.
Well, we have a couple departments that want them.
Right.
And we have a few departments that do not. So are we going to offer them alternative? Are they going to get spending allowance towards?
That's what I lean towards personally. So I guess the question is, because I do not have experience with Cinitas as a contract company, are they going to allow us to have is there a minimum a number of uniforms that have to be ordered? Or
it doesn't appear to be.
No.
Yeah.
So we would need to get more or less an employee census of whether they want the uniform or not.
Well,
or are we thinking about mandating this? Because again, we're...
Oh, I think it would be better to it's either we're going to do it one way or we're going to provide the uniform. And we could certainly come back and suggest some verbiage on a reimbursement, and we'll drop the uniform. And provide for a reimbursement amount. That's, and we do it, possibly annually.
Can we drop the uniforms if we're in a contract?
It's a contract again through the state of Ohio, so I'm hoping that we can drop it. You
okay.
know, so obviously I'm going to come back on this issue. I'm not putting it
okay.
to bed tonight.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll find out how. For affirmatively whether or not we can just cancel the uniform portion. Unfortunately, some of the cost of the uniforms because of the name tags that were placed were one-time set up. Again, the city went out, the village went out ahead of itself on this issue, so.
So you don't need us to vote on anything tonight?
No, it sounds like you want a different, maybe a different reimbursement policy, I'm hearing too, so, all right. Second piece of information is actually, it could have come under correspondence, but Road H is going to be coming under paving from Road 7.2 to the Nova plant. Just a notification from the county engineer's office that that work will be being taken care of. They assure us that they will keep access to the water filling filling station open, and they'll have proper signage up there. But again, I'm bringing it to council just as an FYI purpose.
On that, it said there was an attached letter. I didn't.
I didn't get a copy of the attached letter. This is a letter that would have gone out to the residents along that water line.
I was just wondering if we had a copy of the letter.
I don't. And that's probably, I traded calls with the county engineers last week, and that might have been the reason why he was calling directly. So, finally, there's one other item that has come to, I was made aware of this morning, is that we are having trouble with the lift station on County Road 9, which is south of Route 2 or Route 20. This is the lift station that's adjacent to the entrance for the truck entrance into North Star. It services the properties along north of on 9 or 109, basically. There is some difficulties with it. Staff is trying to troubleshoot it to find out what the issues are. They haven't been able to isolate the actual cause of it. And so I just wanted to alert you that we are having problems. The staff is manually coming out to turn to operate the lift station, so it's not in an automatic mode. And so, again, I just want to let you, and we'll hopefully, as it's a minor electrical problem, but they tell me that, the staff tells me that this is one of your oldest lift stations in the system, and I'll hold my breath until we find out what the actual solving of that problem will be. So that is all I have for now.
I'd also like to mention that I noticed that the fire hydrant at the corner of Maplewood and Adrian was replaced. Wanted to thank the town for getting that taken care of. It's been about a year.
I have a question about the fire hydrants. What bring them down or new business?
Oh, it's your very correspondence.
So what?
You're probably here. Bring it up.
I got a message from Chief Gillen. Said he has volunteers that are willing to paint all the fire hydrants if the village can supply the paint.
It's been a minute, but is there a specific paint that hydrants need to be used? And I want to say in Colorado there was, and I just want to make sure if we're going to buy paint.
I believe that when those were done back in 2010, we purchased it through the hardware store.
Okay. I would like verification.
We would have Jamie look at that. The water superintendent, and if council's okay with that, we'll explore the cost of the paint and get back with you, Mayor. And
yes, sir. Okay. You have to paint them all like Dalmatians. They have that little black and tan running around their house. I am okay with that. I think that would be a good step, especially if we have the free labor to do a little bit of the village.
I'll let them know. Marlena?
I'd like a approval of the invoices.
Each department is being charged for uniforms currently through CentOS? Okay. Even though they don't wear them?
That is correct.
Okay.
Until we make a decision.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the invoices.
motion and second on approval of invoices. Roll call, please.
Before we do roll call, can I ask some questions?
Okay.
Thanks. The very first one, McCaffey, Andrew, and Alexandria.
That is the money from the Nevada Fire, and we had that money on deposit, and that has been cleaned up, and so we return those funds.
I have a question as well. There was two items coming out of general fund, one for Rodney and one for Adam Demoline, and I thought I recalled these at the last invoices. I'm remembering approving those already.
Did you have to reissue Adam's?
We did have to reissue that, so that's probably why that one's on there. And if Rodney's was on there, it's probably just because of the date.
Okay.
Because that was only one payment made to him.
Okay.
So we would need to change the amount.
There was a Coleman Corporation on the last set of invoices for $28,880.75.
Mm-hmm. For fire hydrants.
That's probably hydrants, but I can.
And then $19,000 to Taylor Excavating.
There's a Stores fitting that was purchased. And hydrant parts.
For the Coleman?
For Coleman, yep.
You waiting to hear about Taylor?
Yeah.
And that same set of invoices, there was $19,917 to Taylor Excavating. It was also at the water plant.
There was an emergency repair at Dollar General. And there were valve boxes installed for Dollar General. There was a hydrant at South 109 in the Turnpike. And Adrian Street, North Madison, Linwood. And an emergency water main break on Edgewood.
Thank you.
All right, so no more questions. We had a motion and a second for approval of the invoices. Roll call, please.
Adams?
Stank.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demoline?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Audrey?
And then I have one more.
Oh.
And I'm not sure exactly how this has been done in the past, but we have a tax lien that needs to be put on for a lawn mowing from the Windstream building. And the auditor's office requests a motion. Is that right?
It's usually done by ordinance.
Is it an ordinance?
Yeah, but let's do what, October, August? But if you want to give that to me, I can have it in front of you at the next council meeting by ordinance. Is this the only one? Or
that's the only one that we had right now.
Okay.
So.
Yep.
Okay.
I have nothing there. Thank you.
Sergeant Walker.
Included in the council packets, I submitted a letter as to why we need the upgrade and replacement of the radio system. I'm asking for council's approval to place that.
And this letter you just gave us is that you did get the grant.
We just applied for the grant.
Okay.
Today.
Okay.
We won't find out until we get the letter.
Okay.
And the upgrade you're asking for will most likely be budgeted in 25. Correct.
Correct. We will not get the bill until
to you earlier, submit a thing to the Eagles, they might be able to, hopefully they'll give the police department some money.
Absolutely.
Does he need a nod of approval?
I'm sorry?
Does he need a nod of approval?
I think a motion, because it's above the spending limit, a motion to approve, yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of the new upgrades.
I'll second.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Adams?
Abstain.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Anything else, Sergeant Walker?
Other than the monthly report that I submitted to you earlier, I have nothing.
Thank you, sir. Anything from any of our committees? Okay, moving on to old business. We have ordinance 13-2024, third reading.
13-2024 is an ordinance accepting the application for annexation of certain property to the Village of Delta, Fulton County, Ohio, as petitioned in annexation petition number 2024-2 by Delta Acres LLC.
I know originally this had emergency language on it. Do we need to? We do not.
Do not need to pass it as emergency.
I'll make a motion for third reading.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second for third reading. 13-2024.
Shire?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Adams?
Stay.
Frank?
Yes.
Okay, moving on. Ordinance 14-2024, third reading.
I want to approve after third reading.
Ordinance 14-2024 is an ordinance accepting the application for annexation of certain property to the Village of Delta, Fulton County, Ohio, as petitioned in annexation petition number 2024-3 by Delta Acres LLC.
Thanks.
Make a motion.
Second.
Third reading.
Second. I have a motion and a second for third reading on 14-2024. Roll call, please.
Shire?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Adams?
Abstain.
Frank?
Yes.
All right, no new business. Is there any questions related to today's council proceedings? The next regular meeting for the Village of Delta Council will be Monday, July 15th at 5:30 p.m. I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Adams?
Abstain.
Frank?
Yeah.
You didn't have to do that one.
Demeline?
Yes.